This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
As soon as you start to grow food, whether in your own yard or a community garden, you'll find a network of humans comes along with it. Barely a day goes by when someone doesn't show up at our door with an extra tomato plant, an armload of rhubarb, or a tip on where to find wild-growing cilantro. A team of urban gardeners for hire in Vancouver, Canada, is taking that spirit to the world. It's called Victory Gardens, and you can expect their video tips to show up on YouTube. Joining us now from Vancouver is one of those Victory Gardeners, Lisa Girode. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Well, before we go global with the YouTube project, tell us how your Green Workers Co-op got started.
We got started in March of 2012. And it was really just a bunch of friends coming together around a collective goal to help people grow food. So the three of us kind of sat around over many coffees and teas and, you know, brainstormed what the business would look like. And it, you know, kind of went through a couple different iterations before we landed on where we are now. But yeah, we ran our first year as a general partnership, and then we became a worker co-op in March of 2013 and have been operating that way ever since.
I see urban farming as a terrific way to create a lot of green jobs. Do you have any tips for people who want to start out doing this?
Oh, that's a great question. Probably my number one tip would be to know your market and understand what they're looking for. When we started our business, we identified kind of three markets that we wanted to provide services for. And because we had a pretty clear idea of what they look like, I think we've been pretty effective in being able to reach them. So yeah, I think knowing who your market is and understanding really what you're trying to achieve and knowing the avenues that will take you there are really important for sure.
Lisa, do you see small-scale food production as a special opportunity for women to create their own jobs?
Yeah, I mean, I see it as an opportunity for everyone to create their own jobs first and foremost. But yeah, I mean, we somewhat coincidentally are a business run by mostly women, although this year we have brought on a couple of guys to help us grow our business. So yeah, we happened to be three women when we started, but that was certainly not an intention of ours when we started out. We definitely believe that there's an opportunity for everyone to get involved. I mean, I would hate to create any sort of exclusive perception of our makeup because I believe that we want to encourage as much food growing as possible, and we want to perpetuate this message that we should be more productive, and the easiest way to do that is to include everyone. So yeah, women absolutely, but everyone most importantly.
So you just got a $25,000 grant to spread urban farming techniques on YouTube. What are some of the features that you have planned?
So our first episode was in garden planning that has already been released and is up on our website. And the subsequent episodes will be on soil, winter gardening, garlic, and I can't believe it. Oh, seeds and starters, that as well. So yeah, planning, soil, seeds and starters, winter gardening, and garlic.
Yeah, winter gardening is a hot topic. I've done a couple of shows on that, and people are always interested in it. My impression, though, is that in the northern climate, plants don't really grow much in the winter. Really, what you've done is you've kind of created a green freezer for your plants, and you can pick them fresh, but they don't do much.
That's right. There's a bit of a misconception as to what winter gardening or overwinter gardening means. And you're right. It's using the earth as a natural cold storage.
Unless you add a lot of grow lights now, then you can get going.
That's true. Yeah. Or if you were running an aquaponics operation or hydroponic operation. But yeah, outdoors, not so much actual growing happening in winter. That's right.
Now, I just mentioned the boom of green jobs in urban farming, but many of the local small-scale growers that I have talked with supplement their income with a book, a DVD video, teaching courses, something like that. That's a secondary job source in spreading the know-how, don't you think?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think that, you know, as we know, farmers aren't the best paid bunch in the workforce, and I don't think that's exclusive to large-scale agriculture. I think that is a similar reality for urban growers as well. So I think being able to take advantage of other revenue streams, such as, books, as you say, or online programs, or, I think that that's really important to be able to make ends meet, being diverse and innovative in the revenue streams that you use.
Lisa, are YouTube videos trying to replace what previous generations would have learned from their parents down on the farm?
Possibly. I don't know if that's the intention for all of those who are looking to share their tips, but I mean, it's a medium that's so effective. So it's certainly one of the easiest ways to perpetuate messages and techniques and tips. That could be a hope from a lot of the creators who are making these videos, for sure, to try to spread the message. I mean, we're at a time where a lot of us are fairly disconnected from the food that we eat. So, the most effective medium might be one that can be spread through the internet.
It sort of scares me that so many kids today think food somehow magically comes from the supermarket rather than from nature on the land. How can we get this gardening know-how going with the kids?
Just with messaging and with integration of food growing into school curriculum. And I think just being right there with our kids and teaching them from, don't mind the pun, but from the ground up, that production happens in the earth. And we need to respect that as a practice, because soon I believe that we will all be at least responsible for some form of productive living, or at least respecting the fact that production happens and that it's not just this miracle, as you say, that happens in the supermarket, for sure.
Well, I still remember my first garden, and I think this is the important thing, is that moms and dads give their kids at least a small space. I had a little circle around a hydro pole where I planted petunias and they grew, and I still remember it. I know what they look like,
Totally. I know we have a lot of customers that are young families. I think the Generation Xers and Yers are definitely really understanding the importance of teaching their kids the lessons behind food production and why it's important to grow and consume organically and how to respect that as a, not a tradition, but as a job or as a hobby, because I think that kind of changes the way you consume. I think it has that actually growing, putting seeds in the ground has the capacity to really change things and establish a profound appreciation for how it comes together and the work that goes into it. And even the biology, like the processes, learning how plants actually grow and what they look like, as you said, when they come out of the ground, there's major learning opportunities there.
How do you go about finding yards, and what services do you offer the property owners?
Well, at this point, the yards are coming to us. So customers are interested in food growing, and so they reach out to Victory Gardens for some help. Sometimes they already have a garden and they just like some of our coaching services or educational services, and that's where we come into people's space and we help them learn how to grow in what's existing. And for other people, we engage them by building a garden for them if they didn't already have one. And then for some people, we will go in and maybe build their garden and offer veggie growing services, where we'll act as sort of an edible landscaper, where we'll plan their garden and plant it, maintain it, thin it, and harvest it for them as well. So those are kind of a few of the services that we have. And then we offer some more community-focused services like workshops and learning gardens. We're collaborating with a really cool food cart fest in Vancouver this summer, and we're building them a learning garden and then offering 1 hour free workshops for anyone who goes to the food cart fest. So a lot of community-based work as well.
Those ideas are gold. This is Alex Smith with Lisa Girode. Did I pronounce that right this time?
Yeah, you got it.
Okay, of Victory Gardens in Vancouver, Canada. On Radio EcoShock, I've been running a series on how to protect gardens during extreme weather events such as heat waves, drought, or heavy rainfall events. And I know heat is less of a problem in Vancouver and drought not very much. But is your team thinking about preparing to survive climate change?
Oh, man. I mean, I think we're just taking it day by day. But I think just by virtue of us behaving productively in the work that we do, we are addressing our position on climate change for sure. You're right. In Vancouver, we have a gloriously long season. It runs all year if you so choose to behave that way. So, you know, as you say, we don't have to tackle a lot of the extreme weather issues that plague other parts of the planet. But yeah, by virtue of us doing the work that we do, we're really excited to decrease carbon footprint for the people that work with us and to promote local sustainable and organic agriculture, urban agriculture. So yeah, I mean, climate change is on the forefront of why we're doing what we're doing. And we are definitely passionate environmentalists. So we like to participate and we like to have jobs that help us do that.
It's so important. I mean, you know, it drives me crazy to see apples flown in from New Zealand and that kind of thing.
Yeah, me too.
Well, you know, I know food growing requires six basic things, if I can say, seeds, soil, nutrients, light, water, and timing. As I get my garden going this year, I'm noticing another factor in that structure. I need supports for climbing plants. I need something to hold shade cloth. I need netting to keep the birds off. And I didn't mention a deer fence 6 feet tall.
Right.
Will you be doing a video about planning garden structures?
At this point, we don't have one planned. We have limited resources, although we're super, super excited for being able to do this project in the first place. And a big thanks to the collaborators for helping us achieve this goal. So yeah, at this point, we don't have anything like that planned, but we were trying to keep it, the series, really high level and really accessible and broad so that we could engage people who didn't have gardens at all or didn't know where to start, from holding the seeds in the palm of your hand to putting them in the earth. So we're trying to keep it pretty basic and really for absolutely everyone, including people who don't already have gardens. So we probably won't get that specific with the YouTube series, trying to stay within this intention of accessing everyone and also to excite everyone. I mean, it's possible that people want to watch our videos who don't even have a garden and might not be able to build a garden, but are really curious about why we're doing what we're doing and like our creative approach and, you know, in the style that we choose and in the presentation that we use. So probably not.
I watched your video on garden planning and it was fun as well. I mean, suddenly the three of you shrink to standing beside a giant's boot, you know, almost like a kid's show. It was good stuff. Well, I'm wondering, can you talk to us just for a couple of minutes about succession planting as the season goes forward?
Sure, yeah. So we always utilize successional planting to maximize the season. So essentially it means planting multiple times throughout the season from, I always use arugula, for example, because you can sow it all year long practically. So starting in March, and we like to do month-long succession so that we can actually see the difference between planting. So we'll do a succession every month from March through August, March, April, May, June, July, March and September in Vancouver. So yeah, the intention is to maximize the season and to have manageable harvests as well. It's a common new gardener's, and I hate to use the word mistake because it's all a learning when you put a seed in the ground, and I totally advocate for that behavior no matter how you do it. But it's a common new gardener's error in planting their entire garden at once, because it means that you have often a lot more food than what you can manage, which is also a good problem to have. But it also means that as soon as that harvest is done, you no longer have any food. And we advocate for this kind of planting even in small spaces, which and in that case, it might even be more important that you plant this way. So yeah, those are some of the succession basics. Not every crop has that incredibly long duration, such as arugula. Some crops you can really only plant a couple of times, and other crops like tomatoes in Vancouver, you really only plant once, maybe twice, if you have some early cultivars and some cultivars that can go in a little bit later. So, you know, you have to know a little bit about how your plants grow and the temperatures that they prefer to grow in. But it also, successional planting is also really important for winter growing as well, knowing when your successions would end for one crop, like radish. I like to use that as an example because radish you really only plant through until May. And I know that once my radish are out of there, that I could start some of my winter successions or my fall successions for carrots and beets or for some of my winter brassicas. So it's also a really cool way to think about, you know, utilizing the same space for different crops, depending on when you want to eat them.
When will the YouTube series get a few more additions, and what do we need to do to find it?
We're working on it now. We should be releasing the next episode, which will be on soil, within the next week and a half. That's our hope. And you will be able to find them on our website, victorygardensvancouver.ca, on our videos tab. So you just got to hop online and click on the videos tab in our menu bar, and you should be able to see all the videos there.
Do you have a Facebook page or a Twitter address?
Yep. Victory Gardens for Facebook, simply Victory Gardens. And our Twitter is TheVictoryGardens. And Instagram is also TheVictoryGardens. So if you follow any of those streams, you should find links to our videos there, too.
I'm Alex Smith. This is Radio EcoShock. We've been talking about local food growing with Lisa Girode of the Victory Gardens Workers Co-op in Vancouver, British Columbia. Find the links you need for this interview in my weekly show blog at ecoshock.info. Thank you, Lisa, and I look forward to learning from your YouTube videos.
Thanks.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.